Welcome. You're listening to the Board Games and Beer Podcast. Welcome back to the Board Game and Beer Podcast, Episode 5. I am your host, Vel, and joining me is my co-host, welcome, Morgan! How are you doing this morning, Morgan?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you?
Well, I'm doing great, and so I want to officially welcome you as the new co-host, and it's great to have you. I know we did a little interview there with Chevy Dodd, which I'm sure we'll talk about a little bit more, but it's now you're official. We're doing the real thing.
So. Got my membership card and everything.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Yep, you must have got that in the mail.
Sure did.
Okay, sounds good. Anyway, the other thing I'd like to mention, too, is the theme that's conducted that you listen through the entire show is conducted by the astonishing Andrew Allen, who can be found at Keys with Soul. I know he's right in the middle of recording an album right now, and if anybody hasn't listened to his stuff, you've got to go check him out. He does some great, fantastic stuff. Anyway, so Morgan, so what has been happening with you this last week?
Oh, gee, let's see here. Done a little bit of board gaming. I just got back from a con, so I've been trying to write my recaps over on If You Give a Geek a Game. That's been a good chunk of my week. In between that, I'm playtesting a new little one that I can't talk much about, as well as I've completely fallen in love with Star Realms.
Oh, wow, okay.
Oh my gosh, Star Realms is great. Fun little game. It's a tiny deck builder. It fits in one box, just mm-hmm. one like Magic the Gathering sized card box.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's designed by two Magic former pro players.
Oh, okay.
Plays in 15 minutes and it scratches the deck builder itch without annoying me.
Oh, awesome. So I assume this game's available, or is this not a Kickstarter?
Yeah, this is completely available.
Okay.
It was Kickstarted last year, I believe.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I didn't get in on that, but I found it at a friendly local game store in St. Louis, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. lo and behold, I came home with two full sets.
So. Oh, nice. Okay. So you can get your hands on this then?
Easily.
Okay.
Well,
okay, cool. Sort easily ish. So what's kind of the cost of the game, just out of curiosity?
$15.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, $15 does two player. You can expand it up to six players just by buying more boxes. And they've got rules variants in there for doing like commander, just like Magic the Gathering,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like a raid boss setup as well, where you have five people attacking this one person. It's awesome. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, cool.
It's more direct conflict, too. You can tell it was designed by folks that did Magic the Gathering for a long, long time,
mm-hmm.
because as opposed to sitting over here and, you know, I'm going to sit and I'm going to build up my kingdom and build up my kingdom and build up my kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, mm-hmm. it's, oh, well, I need this starfighter, and then this bait lets me recycle this out of my deck to get a more powerful starfighter, and
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh. So on and so forth.
Sounds cool. Nah.
It's awesome.
Yep. Nah, you got me addicted. I'm going to have to go get that now, too.
So what about you? What have you been geeking out about?
You know, I don't... I'll tell you something that we played... Well, you know, we'll talk about it a little more, but we had our Comic Kingdom Open Gaming Saturday, and then we did... you know, I'll talk about it a little more, too. We did our traditional game night plus beer on Friday night, and... I tell you, one of the ones that really kind of has a grab a hold of me right now is the Downfall of Pompeii. I don't know if you've played that or not.
I haven't played it, but I've heard of it.
Oh, you got to get your hands on this. It's just it's a goofy little game. It's very simple, really, really interesting. It's a kind of like a somewhat of a worker placement. It goes in two phases. So you have this little map, and they've redone it, and they have this little map of Pompeii. And you have these buildings with little places you get, and you get people. And so the first part of the game, you're drawing cards that allow you to place people in the buildings. And so that's the first part of the game, is just trying to populate the city. And then you got a couple little mechanics where you can, you know, get more people in there. And of course, what the object is to try to get as many as you can in there. That kind of works both ways. And as you draw, you're pulling cards out. There's these omen cards that pop up. And then that allows you to take somebody else's person or one of the units and throw it in the volcano. And so they have this little plastic volcano that sits on the end. And the one thing I got to throw out, this is a guy in my our main organizer came up with this idea, and it's brilliant. So do you know the little tea lights that you can,
yeah.
the little battery powered ones?
Mm-hmm.
He because this thing, the volcano's kind of a, it's got like indentations in it, stuff. They did a great job on it, and it looks like a little Vesuvius, and you kind of put it together. And then what you wind up doing is that's where the pieces go when they get destroyed, and it sits on one end of the map. But it's kind of got a clear, it's made of a translucent plastic, so it's, you know, you kind of see through it a little bit. So he thought of this. He bought those little tea lights, and he puts one of those in there. So it looks like it's flashing and burning. It's just the awesomest thing ever. So if you get this game, you got to get the tea lights. I know it's a goofy little effect, but I thought it was the cleverest thing in the world. So, you know,
that's
anyway,
awesome. Yeah, so, I love little mods like that.
Yeah. So that was totally his. So I've stole it, and of course I put it on mine. But anyway, the game, the next thing is as you're drawing through the cards, Vesuvius is finally going to erupt, and when it does, then the game changes. And you stop placing your people, and then what happens is you have these little lava tiles that have little icons on them that will go on the map. And so you go around the table and you place six of them to start with, and then your turn is essentially goes to trying to get your people out of the city, and then each person's on their turn, they get to draw these lava tiles. So it gets this really interesting strategy, and I always thought it's quite funny. The lava really likes the other people, but leaves you alone for some reason. Just interesting how that works, you know. And so then the object of the game then is the person that gets the most people out of the city wins the game. It seems really silly and whatever, but absolutely right now, one of my favorite little fun, quick play, quick to learn. People really like it. I mean, everybody that I've shown it to and played it with loves it. One of my favorite quick play four player games, I think there is. It's great with four players, I think. I mean, you can play 2 to 4 with it, and they just did a redo of it and everything. But I highly recommend. I'm kind of gaga over that one. I have a copy of it, and I think we played that on Friday night, and already the people we play with. Oh, I'm gonna go buy a copy of this. So, and
well, you piqued my interest when you said worker placement. So
yeah, it's kind of like that. It's just people placement, but it's got some interesting little mechanics on how you do. So, you know, you want to get a lot of people in the city, but you know, then if you got them all, you know, clumped up in a spot, you know, when those lava tiles hit them, that kills them. And I think the interesting thing that the way they do a tiebreaker, because I wound up tying with this other guy. And we both got the same amount out. And I said, well, I guess we both win. And I go, no, they have this mechanic in it. Then it says the person that has the less amount of people in the volcano wins the game.
Huh.
So then you have to pull the thing off and start counting the little, you know, little pieces and stuff like that. But it's such a cool game. I love that thing. So, yeah. So that's kind of on my radar right now. I have another one, too, we can talk about, too. I don't know if you played Kingsburg. I mean, I could go teeing off on that one, too, but. I
haven't gotten to Kingsburg yet. Okay. No, there's a lot of stuff that's kind of in my closet or in my realm where my friends have it, and I just haven't gotten a chance to get my hands on it yet.
Yep, and I'm going to tell you, that's another one. You play that once, you're going to want to buy it. You know, it's another one. It's a worker placement again with dice, though.
You're spending my money again.
Yes, exactly. Well, I think that's what – well, you kind of –
that's exactly what board games do.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we both kind of started this, so I guess we're both to blame.
Uh-huh.
So do you got any more like quick shout outs or anything before we kind of pop into our calendar here?
Let's see here. I don't think I particularly have anything at the moment. How about you?
No, I don't think so. I think I'll kind of save whatever I've got, I think, to the end of the show. So what we're going to do, we're going to go and head off into our segment called On the Calendar. Okay, welcome to On the Calendar. This is the segment in our show where we're looking at what meetups might be coming up and also possibly cons and so on and what we might be playing or doing. So we'll do a real quick rundown of our latest meetups and what is coming up. So I'm just going to do a real quick synopsis. I don't know if you looked – I don't know if I tweeted that much about that, Morgan. I might have a little bit about – the Viticulture tournament that we had, you know, a couple of weeks ago. And
actually, I've got a tidbit for you on that.
Okay.
Go on.
Anyway, so we did this little tournament. I got to throw some pictures up about that, I think. That would be kind of cool. Anyway, we did a little and it was sponsored by the guy that designed the game. We did this little tournament and a wine tasting. So people brought wine and everything. We had two full games of this going and we played this like little mini tournament with it, and the person that won got a copy of the game. It was donated to us, so I thought that was really cool. So it got down to four. So we took the top two players, and then they kind of played off to win the game. But it's, I don't know if you've ever played that, but I thought that was a really cool idea, and something that you know, I'd love to do something like that again. So anyway, go ahead and throw your tidbit.
So then. I got a chance to actually meet and talk with Jamie Segmire a little bit last week at Geekway.
Oh, cool.
And he actually mentioned the tournament.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
awesome.
He was super excited about it.
Oh,
so
cool.
You guys definitely kind of were in his mind when we were talking about all the stuff that was going on with board games. And, of course, they had a Euphoria tournament at Geekway. Mm-hmm, I didn't participate because so much time – so little time, so much to cram in there.
Mm-hmm.
As you can see, I've still got con brain. My head's spinning.
Yeah, okay, that's all right. We're going to get to talk about that.
No, he definitely gave you guys a little shout out. So.
Oh, nice. That's cool. That is really cool. Yeah, so the organizer here, he sent him some pictures and, you know, and that kind of thing. And he actually didn't even play. He kind of walked around and kind of helped people and stuff like that, because there's a couple of us I know that we're playing that played it several times. So felt like I had a little bit of an advantage on that. I think I got down to the final four, but this guy, Chris, in our group won it. So, but yeah, super fun. It was a very, really, really cool idea. So anyway, so today, interesting enough, we have a board game blitz. So anyway, so what else do we got coming up there?
Let's see here. Round tabletop games looks like May 28th, which would be, I can't count. Is that Tuesday?
It's Thursday.
Thursday.
Yeah, should be Thursday. Yeah, so we've got that one coming up. We always have that the same week. And then we've got Learn a New Board Game on June 8th. I'm still going to check with our main organizer there, because he's got a board game blitz set for the same day anyway. So what else do we got coming up then after that?
Comet Kingdom Open Gaming, May 29th.
Mm-hmm. And then we've got another Comet Kingdom Open Gaming on Saturday the 31st.
Traditional game night plus beer. Always got to be plus beer.
Yep.
June 27th.
Yep. And that one's a fun one. Boy, that one fills up. We had a waiting list for that one for this last week. But, you know, stay a little more, you know, traditional games and stuff like that. But that's what I'm saying. We played the Pompeii. And then, of course, you know, got to mention this. Usually that game, that night, always Cards Against Humanity always comes to come up. And then it just, you know, disseminates into the next day. You know, to the mindset that thing brings up. And I think the last thing I'm going to mention here too, and for Star Wars, the X-Wing Miniatures game on June 6th. Have you tried that game at all, Morgan? Have you tried playing
it? I haven't gotten to play X-Wing yet.
Mm-hmm.
I've kind of been adjacent to it. I've watched a couple of games played over at Tabletop, but I haven't actually gotten to get my hands on the pieces and really play one out.
Mm-hmm. It's fun. It really is. I think, like I said, it's couple episodes back when we talked about the In the Vault segment with Starfleet Battles, it's kind of similar, so I kind of feel like I have a little bit of practice with that, except there's a little bit more to it, but it's kind of a fun little game, and I like it. And as a matter of fact, I'm a little more of a Star Trek fan, and so I am waiting to get a copy of Attack Wing, the Star Trek Attack Wing. I've got that one coming. I just heard the models aren't as good, but the Star Wars ones, the little miniatures, are just fantastically done.
Are people having a problem getting their hands on the Star Trek game?
No, not necessarily.
Okay.
I think everything that I've seen from it, and I've watched some reviews on it and everything, I think it looks cool. I think it looks really fun. Is the main gripe I'm hearing from people is the models are just not as good. So what people wind up doing is they take them and repaint them and spice them up or whatever, which, to be honest with you, is probably something I'm going to wind up doing too. So when I get my copy finally. And then the thing I want to mention, this is a Fantasy Flight thing. I don't know if you're aware of this assault on Imdar Alpha, which is going to be running the weekend of May 30th through June 1st. And that's just not localized here. This is everywhere. So it's going to be a global preview event showcasing the fourth wave of the X-Wing Starfighters and exclusive pre-release tournaments. And so the way, from what I understand, is they have been sending this stuff out earlier, or they will be. And the people at this pre-release event are going to can set up little tournaments and whatever, and actually compete to get their hands on these new the new wave of ships that they got coming out, which I thought was really cool.
That's excellent. I'll have to see if my game store over here has a an event going on. I'm sure they do.
Mm-hmm. I think most of them really do, and I'm gonna also I think have to get my hands on a copy of that as well, because I don't think that guy'd be too happy if I beat him out and took a couple of those things. Because I'm doing okay at it. I mean, I've kind of gotten my head around it a little bit now. So, but yeah, it's just, and then of course they've released these new, a couple of these bigger ships, like the, what is it called? He's going to kill me because he knows I should know the name of it, but it's the ship in episode 6.
The CR-90, what is it? Tantive IV?
Yes, that's the one. That's the one. And they have that one out. In fact, one of our game stores here has it. It's really cool looking. I mean, it's big, but you know, it's not a cheap ship, you know, by any means.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't we finish off the last little things there?
All right, let's see here. We had Arkham Horror in Reno. I think their last one was Sunday. Is that correct? Sunday.
Right. Yep. Yeah, we did that one last Sunday. I still haven't had a chance to do that one yet. I want to play that game so much, but I just seems like it always kind of falls on a day where I'm not able. Because I think I went like 5 straight days.
Arkham Horror is such a time commitment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
And now I keep hearing people say, "Well, Arkham Horror is totally fired by Eldritch Horror," and I'm like, "Really?" Because I haven't played the first one yet.
Okay. Sounds good.
So I don't know. I mean, I hear Eldritch Horror is just kind of slightly lighter. You know, it's not as light as Elder Sign, where you're just rolling dice and not doing much that way. But I hear it's lighter. I'll have to check it out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. I mean, I still got to get my hands on doing some of that stuff. So I think what we'll do, we'll let you kind of go off. So you went to Geekway. So I don't know if you wanted to maybe chat about that for a few minutes or whatever. And
sure.
Tell us
about
that.
I definitely want to give a huge shout out to all of the organizers, everybody who put everything together for Geekway. They had a crew of probably, 10, 15 people kind of at the heart of it. And then if I had to guess, I'd say I saw more than 50 different volunteers over the weekend helping them out. They did a fantastic job, a wonderfully smoothly run con. I still don't know how they pulled it off, but they had, and these were all from private collections, a loaner library of around 1,000 games that you could check out and
Holy
play.
Holy smokes. Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. I wonder if people got to play all 1,000 of them.
Oh, I can't imagine how you could. I mean,
exactly.
Maybe if you'd been going all 10 years, you might have had a shot at mm-hmm. it.
But... Right. Exactly.
Yeah, we definitely got a chance to try some new games. I got to try Glass Road off the Play to Win table, which was a challenge. It's kind of the newest-ish Rosenberg game out there, and it definitely plays like a Rosenberg.
Right.
Where you feel like the game is, you know, a very, very long game, but out of that long game, you only had 5 minutes to get done whatever it was you were trying to get done. You feel like you just blinked and you missed your chance.
I gotcha.
So it's definitely one I wanted to go back and play again. Didn't get a chance to over the weekend. But I definitely enjoyed that one. I got to playtest a couple of games while I was there. Definite shout out to the guys doing Ophir Terra Nova Games. Mm-hmm. Had fun mm-hmm. playing that with Charles. That launches on Kickstarter, I believe, June 7th.
Oh, cool.
And I will tell you, it lives up to all of the hype that you've been seeing out there.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I've been hearing a lot of things about mm-hmm. that one.
And then I got to meet up with Patrick from Crash Games for Yardmaster Express.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Tried a few games of that. Definitely learned what not to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 5-minute, you know, keep in your pocket, keep in your purse or your bag. You know, you can stop and play it pretty much anywhere. It's a drafting game.
Okay.
So you'll start the game with one card in your hand, and then a hand is kind of passed around. You add your card to it, then pick one and play one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so it's kind of like a Seven Wonders mechanic a little bit to it, I see. Okay.
Yeah, it takes the basic, like, train hookup mechanic of Yardmaster.
Okay.
Which is on Kickstarter right now, and puts it in this 5-minute quick draft, very fun, very light, absolutely visually attractive game.
Cool. I have heard a lot of cool things about that too. Yep, more money flying out of my pocket. I can see it.
Did you just hear the whoosh of it just kind of out the window there?
Yes, exactly. Just, yeah, just take my money. Just take it. Everybody, just take it. Well, that's cool. Yeah, it sounds like, I mean, I was kind of following your tweets and obviously looked at your blog and stuff like that. And it looks like you guys really had a good time there. It looked really fun. I wish I could have somehow managed that, but you know.
Next year.
Yep.
You've got to come next year.
Yep. Got to see if I, that just kind of falls like right.
Bad time.
Yeah, right in the middle, right as I'm ending up my work year and, you know, that kind of thing. So I don't know, unless I could burn some days off or whatever.
Yeah,
something.
I think May 14th through 17th is the, we're 95% sure this is when it is, dates for next year.
Right. So
I'm not sure if that coincides with St. Louis Comic Con or not. I know there was some talk about that.
Ah, okay.
But there may be a double bonus next year for people traveling in from out of town.
Mm-hmm.
Go to Comic Con during the day, play board games at night.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Not to love.
Yeah, it's like perfect. It's like a perfect match, right? Two peas in a pod or whatever you want to say about that.
If they keep that weekend, it will be the same.
Okay.
That is correct.
Cool. So. Sounds awesome. Great. Okay, so I think we'll just end the on the calendar segment. I'm just going to mention again that you know, here in Reno, we have the RageCon, which will be taking place from June 27th to the 29th at the Circus Casino. If you still haven't got your tickets, I know those are still available. We have 3-day passes, Friday only passes, Saturday only passes, Sunday only passes. And we're starting to put some of this stuff together for this, so it's going to be kind of interesting to see how this goes. I know for one thing, what I'm going to try and do is I will possibly do a little bit of live recording from the con, and we'll stick it in an episode here and kind of see how that goes and maybe talk to some people or whatever. So I'm still kind of interested to see what this guy's going to have me do because I've kind of volunteered to do it or whatever. So let me just show you. He's going to love this because I know he listens to the podcast, and I'm going to throw myself under the bus with this one.
Oh, here you go.
Yep, here I go. So we tend to give each other a hard time, and some of the people that come to the meetup are like looking like, God, what, are these guys not like each other? And it's exactly the opposite. We get along extremely well, so we tend to rib each other maybe a little more than some people might be accustomed to, and you know, it kind of throws a shock on everybody. So I just kind of mentioned to him yesterday, we have an informational meeting coming up. I think it is on June 2nd. For people that are, you know, volunteering and running things or whatever. And I, like I said, I'm still not sure what I'm going to do. So I jokingly said to him, I said, I bet you I know what you did. And he says, what? And he says, you went to this casino and you said, you know what? All the people that clean the bathrooms and everything, give them the weekend off. I have a guy that would love to do that. So I was like, and now, of course, I made this up. And you know, he goes, oh, yeah. He goes, yeah, I've already talked about it. He goes, hey, that's a great idea. He goes, oh, here, let me get my phone. You know, he starts to call him. So anyway, I had to rip myself a little bit on that one.
You're going to get in trouble.
No, he already does it. So, I mean,
he does it for you.
Yeah, but sometimes I try to beat him to the punch so that, you know, I know what he's going to do. So anyway. Anyway, so what we will do next is we are going to head into our next segment, which is In the Pipeline. Okay, this is our segment In the Pipeline, and this is what new games are coming out and what may look good or not good for that matter. So I think what we want to do, I really like doing this on our show where we do revisit some of the games and so on that we've looked at on Kickstarter and whatever, and kind of see how they're doing. So, Morgan, why don't we start with this first thing? And I know we've really been following this, and you know, you certainly have your hands in this. So, how's Transylvania doing? So, I kind of do a little bit of follow up on that.
Transylvania is doing excellent on Kickstarter. They have passed two stretch goals. They're looking for their third right now, which I believe, and I'm probably just about to make a liar out of myself, will be the 9th and 10th characters in the game.
Okay.
They are, as we speak, at $38,000. Wow, they just crossed that. With 600 backers even. The next stretch goal crosses at $40,000. And that will add the sleuth and then one player-voted character to the game. We're not sure what it's going to be yet. There's been some talk of, like, a wanderer or... I know Lauren was kind of thinking someone from a secret society. I know he kind of put up a poll question this morning.
Mm-hmm.
you know, whether we'd look at like the Knights Templar or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where that's going. Also want to throw a shout out. WeBuy, kind of separately from the Kickstarter, is running a contest. You can enter on Rafflecopter off of their Facebook page to be in the game as the art for either the female vampire or the male zombie.
Oh, yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, that would be so awesome.
Oh, yeah.
So you can hit their page on Facebook, enter on Rafflecopter. Real simple, real easy. A couple of clicks, like them on Facebook, give them a thumb on BoardGameGeek. It's going to be so much fun to see the people who win.
Oh, yeah. So. Yeah, that's really cool. So, yeah, they're plugging along, and I'm glad to see that that thing's...
Yeah, this is the last week. We are officially in the final week of this, so if you guys want to hop in, this is the time.
Yep, it sure is. And I'm going to tell you, I'm playing it in my meetup group, and we had an awesome game of that last roundtable games. Which was last week, but the week before, and the people that I played it with just loved it. So they're like, "Ooh, where is that? I want to get that." So I think they've really got something good there. You know, the thing too is we were experimenting with the powers that that Jamie and Lauren had come up with. I thought that was a really cool idea. The really funny thing was he'd sent me something and he says, "Hey, you want to play test this?" And I said, "Yeah, absolutely, of course." And the funny thing was, I think the day before we were playing it, and that was kind of the mention. Some people go, you know, this is cool, but that would be really cool if these characters had powers. And then lo and behold, I think that night I get home and that he'd already like read our minds or something. But I thought that worked. I thought those were really cool. It really brought a little more fun element to it. So I enjoyed that.
I haven't actually gotten to play with them yet. They were, of course, running playtests at Geekway and everything, and I got to see them on the table. I got to see, you know, different playtesters use the powers, but I haven't actually gotten to use one yet. So I'm kind of excited to see the next time that I get to play it to really see how they change the game. And plus, you know, on the Kickstarter, since they're allowing their backers to be the characters and the character cards are going to be double-sided, that way you have a randomizer too for choosing who you are as a character if you wanted to do it randomly.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, and I thought at least my initial impressions with that, you know, they're like these one use only powers. You can only use it once. Totally makes sense, you know, because you die and, you know, if you don't get a chance to use it. So it's almost like, I think, you know, kind of early on, depending what it is, I found I was like burning it right away. You know, when it was a good opportunity, and it was not one of those things you want to sit there and go, "Oh, I'll just save it." So I think they kind of hit the nail on the head with the mechanic there, you know, like you can only use it one time, and it totally makes sense because you go through characters so quickly in that game sometimes that, you know, but yeah, it was interesting too. We had another game. I think we've had like the last three or four times we played it. We've had people win with knowledge cards, like three out of the four times, which before all this playtesting before, we haven't had that happen. It seems like a hard way to win, but it was happening. It was a super fun game. That was probably one of the funnest ones I played. We had almost all the tiles out, and it was actually one of the longer ones I played, but we were having a blast playing it. Just, I think where they're really funny is the event cards. We just get a kick out of reading those things. I mean, the group I have, it was so funny. The banter in, you know, comments and stuff, you know, the one that kills me in that is the one of them I thought was really funny is like the red liquid. Like, oh, you find this bottle of liquid. And so just the jokes that fly around with that. Oh yeah. I see these bottles of, you know, random stuff lying on the ground. I think I'm going to drink that. You know.
Yeah, Lauren's joke is that nobody in this game has any impulse control whatsoever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. So that was just so funny. And there was another one with, the guy that was playing with us was so funny, the comment. I mean, it was so funny now. I can't even remember it because we were all laughing so hard. But it was the one where you find the two, I don't know.
The two pools?
The two pools with the women in them or something like that, and just this comment that this guy made, it was just hysterical. You can imagine what that
was. Yep.
He goes, "Yeah, just my luck," or something along those lines. He goes, "But it's not going to bode well for me, I could tell, because that's usually what happens to me." He said something along those lines. So anyway.
See, for us, whenever we have the sleuth in the game, the hound is right on top of the event deck every time. The hound goes after that sleuth, which is funny because, of course, the sleuth is a nod to Sherlock.
Right.
And the hound is a nod to the Hound of the Baskervilles. And there you have it.
Right, right. Perfect.
So
Yeah.
That's kind of our weird coincidence
Yeah.
with playing it.
Perfect. So I think the other little update we'll throw out here too is that Pol funded. Yay! So that was really cool, and I'm just glad to see that. Like I said, I threw some stuff out there. I thought that was a really cool interview, and I like to see.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I just like to see, you know, good game designers, good people, you know, have their stuff make it, and totally very gracious about the entire thing and whatever. So a lot of people are super excited, and I know we're waiting to get our little grubby hands on that and try that out. So.
Excellent.
So anyway, what else do we got there? What else can we kind of throw in there before we roll into our interview here?
All right, I'm just going to check the Kickstarter calendar. Currently on Kickstarter, ending in seriously 2 days, we need to get on this, is Yardmaster, the full version, not Express.
Okay.
Yardmaster's currently at 27, almost 28,000. Next stretch goal is somewhere in the 30s, which will give wooden exchange tokens. If through some amazing backers we manage to hit the 44,000 mark, Patrick is going to put some of his own money toward making an app out of Yardmaster, which I think would be phenomenal.
Oh, sweet. Awesome. Awesome.
So Yardmaster's a little bit addictive. You can kind of sit there and play it over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Having an app for that would be great. Mm-hmm. So that's the pie in the sky dream, but it can still happen. 59 hours to go on the Kickstarter.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool.
Other than that, Asking for Troubles launched this week.
Right.
They launched May 21st.
I was looking at that. Looks cool.
It's very orange. I'm very excited for it.
Yes, I was. That was exactly the same comment I was going. That's a very orange game, isn't it?
They're getting a lot of criticism for it, which kind of upsets me.
Oh, I think it's fine.
Yeah, I really see the vision there. I feel like I really see the kind of the visual engagement they were looking to create with it, and I appreciate it. Everybody is saying, oh, it's a gimmick to get people to back. No, it's not.
Right.
Watch Undead Vikings review. You know, take a look at the components, read through the rule book. Don't just take the orange and not get past it. That's just silly.
Yep. Well, I've looked at it. I think it looks kind of cool. I mean, I've poked my nose at it, and it's kind of piqued my interest a little bit. I think I'm going to have to more money again out of my wallet. To these people's hands.
Yeah, I was in on it on the first day.
Yep, it looks cool. It looks really cool.
I kind of have a rule that I'm only allowed to back one that's not on the calendar of stuff that I know about each month, and I still haven't found that one yet. So I'm doing good for this month. I haven't completely blown my budget.
There you go.
Okay, upcoming very quickly. This is anything that I know about during June, and if someone out there has a Kickstarter project you're getting ready to launch and you want to let us know about it, please do. That way we can talk about you guys. We understand the value of having multiple sources talking and hyping your game.
Absolutely.
And we're happy to do it for you.
Yep, absolutely. That's what we're kind of here for. So.
Okay, here's what I know about anyway, or at least here's what's on the calendar that I'm allowed to back because I've already scheduled it in. June 7th, Ophir from Terra Nova Games, tested it at Geekway, lives up to absolutely all the hype. If you want to try it online, give them a tweet at Ophir Game on Twitter, and I know Charles has been running some online playtesting with it. Variable player powers in that game, just kind of tiny ones. And I'll brag a little bit. We definitely kicked the creator of the game's butt at Ophir at Geekway. We ran the poor guy all over the board.
Oh, so nice.
I don't feel guilty at all.
There you go.
June 19th, Tiny Epic Defenders from Gameland Games. This one's getting a lot of hype. I didn't get my hands on a preview copy. This one's getting a lot of hype because it's so hard to beat. If you kind of mash up like a tower defense video game with the Tiny Epic Kingdoms Kickstarter that we saw a few months back, you have Tiny Epic Defenders.
Oh, cool.
And then beyond that, June 21st is Yardmaster Express from Crash Games. Super excited for that. Here's an added incentive to back Yardmaster itself. I've been told, and I don't know the exact figure, and Patrick, if I'm wrong, forgive me. I've been told that if you back regular Yardmaster, you'll be able to get Express at a special tier.
Oh, cool. Nice. Excellent. Like I said, just more money is going to be flying out of the June's not going to be a good month.
Well, that's the thing, is all of the actual backing funds are going to come out in July, so I don't see why June's going to be a bad month.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I don't know. I'll probably find something else, though, too, because I'm looking around at other things, too. So it just keeps, you know, calling at me or something in my sleep. So cool. So, yeah, so we got a bunch of cool stuff coming out here and so on. So I think what we're going to do, we're going to pull our interview guest in for this episode, which is going to be Drecast of the Epic Geeks podcast.
I am so excited for this.
Yep, it's going to be cool. So anyway, let's we'll pause here momentarily and we'll pull her into the show and we'll be back in just a few moments.
Yay!
Welcome back to the Board Games and Beer podcast. So we are bringing in our special guest and interview today with Drecast of the Epic Geeks podcast. So welcome, Drecast. We're happy to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. So anyway, so we're gonna rake you over the coals here a little bit and ask you a few questions and so on. And so anyway, why don't you fire away there, Morgan?
So Drecast, how long have you been into gaming? Video gaming, board gaming, whatever it may be. How long have you been doing it?
Ouch, I'm going to have to give away my age, aren't I, if I answer this question, probably. Mm-hmm. I've been video gaming mainly since I was about 6 years old. That's where it goes back to, back in the days of the old Atari 2600. I used to play the old Pong and the Super Breakout, stuff like that. So I'm like one of those old-time gamers. I did play board games. I've been really worried about your listeners because I thought I'm going to be a bit of a fraud on this podcast because I'm not really a board gamer. Mm-hmm. But I did play like the Game of Life and Monopoly and Trivial Pursuit and stuff like most people growing up around Christmas time and stuff with family and friends, things like that. But in terms of gaming, I'm pretty much purely a video gamer. At the moment, I grew up with the Sega Mega Drive. That's what really kind of got me addicted back in the days of Road Rash and Sonic the Hedgehog, things like that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yay, and Sonic!
Yay! Hey, go Sonic, exactly, and Tails. Got a lovely little Tails.
And Knuckles. Knuckles mm-hmm, was my favourite.
Mm-hmm. And Road Rash. You know, they're just bringing out a new version of Road Rash I saw the other day. There's an indie developer bringing Road Rash back, which is going to be awesome. So you can't beat hitting people over the head with nunchucks on a motorbike.
Jeez.
and then, of course, we came into PC gaming when that started to really sort of take off, and World of Warcraft got me hooked. And that's kind of where I am today, mainly with PC gaming, but also a little bit of Xbox and Halo and things like that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I'm just kind of curious. I mean, some of these, I think there's a lot of transfer, though. You know, gaming's mm-hmm. gaming. And I just kind of wonder if some of those, I wonder if like Sonic the Hedgehog could be a good board game or something like that, because they seem to go, some of them I know they've done that with, you know.
Yeah, you know. I mean, collect coins and things like that, I'm sure. So if there's anybody out there who wants to take that to Sega, then go ahead, I'd love to play that.
Yeah, see? So so I told you, we can get you, you know.
Yeah, I know. Well, to be honest with you, with the board gaming thing, it's not so much that, like, I would love to play board games. I don't have anybody to play it with. Mm-hmm. Like, my partner's not that interested. And all my gamer friends kind of live all over the place in America and other parts of England. So they're not kind of physically with me to be able to play them. Mm-hmm. So it was more of a, yeah, that's kind of the only reason. Mm-hmm. But having listened to your podcast over the last couple of weeks has really kind of got me into it in quite a big way, to be honest with you. It's made me realise that there is a much wider gaming community out there, not just with the video gaming, but, you know, also with board gaming as well. So it's been great listening to you guys over the last couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool. Great. Yeah, well, I really appreciate you kind of plugging us on your show. So we appreciate that.
Yeah, that's
so.
Been fantastic.
Yeah, I'm always willing to give a shout-out to good shows, so that's fine.
Yep.
And in the immortal words of Will Wheaton, it's not what you love, it's how you love it. So,
exactly.
You know, geeks are geeks. It's... Mm-hmm. It's just doing the thing you love because you love it, whether or not it's video, board, whatever kind of game.
No, exactly. And that's the main point of Epic Geeks, to be honest with you, is to bring gamer geeks together from whatever community they are from, you know, whether it's board games or video games or whatever kind of games you like playing. It's, yeah, we are a huge geek community together, and, you know, we need to stand together.
Yeah, exactly. 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 Was it that something I think I threw up on one of my things where they says, like, it was something along the, like, nerds is actually a word for an intellectual badass, mm-hmm. I think is what they were saying. So, I tend to think that holds a lot of truth.
Mm-hmm. I'll go with that.
So was that sense of community primarily the inspiration behind Epic Geeks? Was there kind of something that really generated it, or, you know, a catalyst toward the, hey, I'm going to do this podcast?
I don't know if, I can't remember if there was a catalyst, but it was the community that kind of drove it. The website kind of was where it started off from. It hasn't really been going that long. I started it back in October, and it was just really a hobby, like a blog type thing that I started off. And I kind of thought, wouldn't it be great if I just started a podcast? Why not? You know, I just had this random idea one evening and thought, yeah, why not? And I started thinking about ideas about how I could get it going. And this Epic Geeks idea just came around. I thought, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are doing podcasts, gaming podcasts, and I wanted to try and make it a little bit different. Mm-hmm. And it was the community that kind of drove it. I thought, well, what I really wanted was a website and a podcast that brought the gaming community together so that anybody and everybody can contribute, which is the main idea. It started off, as I said, just me back in October. We've now got 9 people on the Epic Geeks team. There's myself, James and Tom that do the podcast. We've got Patrick and Jake over in America, the American side of the pond. And they're kind of starting off a WoW podcast for us, mm-hmm. and sort of contributing to our YouTube channel and things like that. We've got Ross and my mate Jace, who are starting to do sort of streaming and esports content that's be coming out of the next couple of months. And another Jake and an Alex are also going to start writing content and doing video reviews. So we're kind of growing, getting bigger and bigger. And if anybody out there does want to start, you know, if they want to write for a website or start doing YouTube videos and things like that about gaming reviews, then contact us, because I really do want to make it a big sort of gaming community. That's what I want it to be. I want everybody to contribute to it. It's not just about me and about my mates. It's, yeah, I want it to be a group of people doing it.
So it sounds like to me that you've got a plethora of content then, that you don't have to worry about stuff for your podcast or whatever, which is kind of cool. That's good to know, I think, once you start one of these things, isn't it? Because you're like, well, for me, that was kind of a little bit of the quandary, you know, with me when I started thinking about mine was, am I going to have enough stuff to keep talking about things or whatever? And that doesn't seem to be the case, does it, once you start getting your nose in it, is it?
Right. No, there's so much stuff out there. And in terms of video games, you know, if you're not just looking at the AAA people out there, you've got all the indie developers. Mm-hmm. There's so many of them out there that are making such great games. And to be able to sort of highlight the great work they're doing on a podcast like ours is, you know, amazing. And that's what I like, talking to the indie developers that are really creating mm-hmm. work. Like, similar to what you do, really, with your Kickstarter.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, talking to guys that are working sort of from the roots, coming out with great games and trying to let people know about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're doing this job for, isn't it? Yep. Well, not a job, you know, hobby, whatever hobby. You call it.
Yeah,
podcasting
exactly.
thing.
Something or whatever. Yeah, yep, exactly. And so it has a lot of neat back scratching, I think, that goes on.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah,
which is kind of
and
nice.
That brings back the community aspect again, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And I think that's what's kind of cool about this. It's a really cool community for the most part, mm-hmm. from what I've, you know, in my experience with all the people, all the different things that I've gone to and stuff like that. I mean, you know, the daughter of Scott Johnson, I don't know if you listen to his podcast at all. But, you know, doing the artwork for us or whatever. But
yeah, I heard about that. That's amazing.
Yeah. She just knocked that thing out of the park. You know? You know, and I actually contacted him. And he's, you know, he's a very busy guy and everything. I totally mm-hmm. understand that. And but he says, you know, well, what if my daughter does it for you? And I said, absolutely. And I'm just tickled to death with, you know, with what she did, you know, with that. But, you know, just kind of in lines with that, you know, going to his Nerdtacular event that he does in Salt Lake. I'm going again this year. It's such a cool community of people,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're involved in that. And it's just, I think that's the thing. I'd agree with you there that maybe we don't mention up is just that sense of community that's so cool behind all this stuff.
Yeah. And what I like is that geeks don't judge people.
Right.
You know, it doesn't matter what background you come from, mm-hmm. what issues you have, anything, you know, there's no judgment there at all.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows that people from all walks of life can get along when they've got something in common.
Right. That's why I like that. I'm sure you've seen the the little Will Wheaton response to the girl at the at the con that asking him about whatever. I thought that was just brilliant, mm-hmm. you know, response to that. So, you know, anyway. So I have to ask you this. We're going to derail here a little bit here, Drake Cass. But I know you've obviously had some help from some people along the ways and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And like the CTR podcast, Convert to Raid. Yeah. And so I'm just kind of curious how you – and I've talked to this guy before – how you possibly coerced Coltrane into getting involved in your podcast and doing your sounder for you. No, the guy's got an awesome voice. He's a super cool guy.
Yeah. He has an amazing voice. Well, you know, you talk about how great the community is, and you getting Scott Johnson's daughter to do your artwork and things like that. It's kind of similar. I gave a general email to Coltrane and just asked him to listen to my pilot podcast and just said, you know, just tell me what you think. Be honest and brutal with me and you know, let me know. And he got back to me and said that he absolutely loved it. And he said, do you want me to give a shout out on the Convert Trade podcast? And I was like, oh my god. Like, I didn't expect that response. I was just like, I thought he'd just ignore it or not bother. And he did, and he gave a shout out asking for, because at the time it was just me doing the podcast, and he said that I was looking for co-hosts. Mm-hmm. And the response I got was amazing. You would not believe how many people contacted me about being a co-host on that show. I was just overwhelmed by how many people got in contact with me from all over the world as well, you know, USA, Canada, UK. I had someone out in Japan as well. Mm-hmm. And that was all just down to Coltrane give me that shout out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he said, if you need anything, just you know, give me a shout and let me know. And so I thought, well, I'll be a bit cheeky and ask him if he wouldn't mind doing the intro. And he said yes. Yeah, awesome. So I wrote a little intro and he got back to me with it. So
yeah,
that was it.
Yep, exactly. And I just I don't know, Morgan, how far you back playing, you know, World of Warcraft or whatever. We're really getting derailed here, but anyway, the mod in there, you know, Deadly Boss Mods.
Yes.
Yes. So anyway, Coltrane's actually has his voice in that now.
He does.
Yeah. And
oh my gosh.
Yeah. And so interestingly enough, I mean, I don't mind the other one they had in there, the other default voice that they had in there, but I actually playing that game now, I use his all the time. Now, so
it's a countdown, isn't it?
Yep. And yeah. I love the little, there was one of his episodes there where they were chatting about something, and that, you know, if they're ever doing that, and then I remember right after he'd done that, and he says, oh yeah, you know, we were raiding or whatever, and he goes, I was doing the countdown, 3, 2, 1, with his own voice, you know, and just messing everybody up. He goes, oh no, that's me. I thought that was just awesome. And they're like, God, Colt! And they're getting mad at him and stuff. I was like, well, you guys, you know, you just opened yourself up for that. You knew he was going to do that.
Yeah, if that's not going to happen, then just use someone else's voice, because if you're raiding with him, it's going to happen.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, anyway. Yeah, I had to find out about that, though. I certainly recognized the voice at the beginning. I was like, wow, I wonder what the heck she did to get him to...
He's just a really nice guy, you know. And as he said, when he made me back, that, you know, we're all in it together, mm-hmm. and we do favors for each other, and that's what the gaming community is about. That's why we're all great people.
Exactly.
All right. So, how much research did you put into the podcast and put into Epic Geeks to really bring the elements together and bring it, up to a functional working podcast?
Well, we it's a 2-weekly podcast, so we're not weekly, we're every other week, and we have a production meeting, so the week in between. Mm-hmm. So during that production meeting, that's when we get together and look at the topics that we want to discuss, and sort of what news has come out during that week. But then that normally changes, because as you know, in the gaming world, news comes out all the time. Some stuff's coming out every day, and some of the stuff, to be honest with you, we've literally only known about for half an hour. But if it's really important, then it goes in the podcast. And it's normally Blizzard, to be honest with you, does stuff like that. Mm-hmm. They bring something out about an hour before our podcast nearly every week. And we just have to shove it in there. I'm sure they do it on purpose. So we try and do sort of a week's worth of research, looking at what news is coming out and trying to pinpoint what we think gamers are going to want to listen to, you know, hear about. And it's not necessarily the big news. Sometimes it's just the more interesting news or the quirky, funny news we like to stick in there just to make it a little bit more interesting, because we've only got so long. We can't talk about absolutely everything, so we just try and pinpoint it to what we think is going to be most interesting to people. That's it, really.
Okay, cool. So we're gonna ask you. I know you said you're not, but I'm sure you've played some board games. You know, you played some stuff. So of those, what are your favorites? You know, if, as far as a board game goes, you know, maybe you could give me a couple of them.
Well, it's like I said, when I was growing up, I played things like The Game of Life,
mm-hmm.
And Monopoly and Trivia Pursuit, like most people. And probably The Game of Life is the one that sticks in my mind the most. I mean, we're going way back, aren't we? I don't know if people still play that game anymore. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I remember it, so I'm showing my age too. So
I just have such great memories of getting the board out and sticking the little pieces. They had the little bridges, didn't they, that you stuck on the board.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I just spent hours at Christmas playing that with my sisters and my family. And I mean, do you consider card games and trading card games, things like that,
mm-hmm.
as board games?
Yeah,
we do everything. Yep, that fits.
Because I play I play card games like poker and stuff like that all the time.
Mm.
You know, if we're going to go into sort of that route of things, and trading card games. Yeah, I used to play Top Trumps when I was growing up, mm-hmm. at school. You mm-hmm. didn't play that game,
right?
And I suppose Hearthstone is kind of, although it's a video game,
mm-hmm.
it is really a board game, isn't it?
Yes,
it totally counts.
Yeah, so you know, you're bringing those together. Hearthstone, I'm totally addicted to, especially mm-hmm. now it's on my iPad.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's what I hear. I don't really officially have my own iPad, but that would be bad. Yeah,
saying you haven't gone down that rabbit hole yet?
Not yet. No, I'm just sticking with the PC. And, you know, I haven't played that one as much lately. I really like it. I think what wind up happening to me, you know, Drake Hess, I don't know if that you kind of ran into a similar, you know, kind of situation with it, but I got lucky. I got in on the early beta. I won something off of Facebook mm-hmm. or something about like a week after or 2 weeks after they did the you know, the beta, you know, launch and so on. And so I was involved in it. So I played quite a bit of it, and I was there for a couple of the wipes and all that stuff. And but anyway, it just seemed like the minute it went, everybody could access it. You know, I had to do some homework. Because I was just getting my rear end handed.
But I thought I was amazing until I released it.
Yeah, and then that's the thing I notice. Like, I get in these matches now, and I do. I'm doing all right. It just depends. But if I've got like one of my lower level decks or something, I don't have as advanced much. I've got them set up, and I know how to play it. I do okay. But you're just getting in there, and it just so many people in there now. It's just like I feel like I'm behind in the thing, and I go in there with one of my higher decks or whatever, I just get my rear end handed to me. You know, I just get crushed, you know, and I don't know. That's just some things I've noticed. And I know somebody I play Warcraft with, her husband, you know, started picking it up and playing it. And that, mainly he got into it just so he could win that mount, you know, for the game, you know, for it to put into WoW, because he was trying to get it for his wife, because she wanted it, and she wasn't going to really play it. And that was his big gripe, was that, you know, he just couldn't compete with any of these people because they had all the cards for everything,
mm-hmm.
you know. So I don't know, just kind of my thing with that. But I still think they got a pretty good balancing issue on that, you know, to a certain extent. But that one's certainly.
Yeah, I think it is one of those games that you have to kind of do your research, and if you want to be really good at it,
mm-hmm.
I don't think you can really get away from that, really, unless you just play play the non-competitive games, just mm-hmm. play your friends and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, if you're going to go into the arenas or the rated matches, then yeah, you have to really do some research. Otherwise, you are going to get your
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think it, you know, that fits. I don't know if did you play the like the Warcraft, you know, card game or the TCG or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
So that fits in our realm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I have some of the cards that I haven't really tried it. I've looked at it and it looks really cool, but unfortunately they're not making that anymore now. So that's going to become a collector's item. Yep. Yep. That's going to turn to a collector's item. I like that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just spend more of my money again. These people.
Yeah, the value of those cards have now gone up as well. It's going to cost even more to play it.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. See, there's this plan we just don't know about. That's out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's people that are just getting to us. So anyway.
So we understand that in a little bit of preparation or, you know, pre-gaming, metagaming here, you've become somewhat of an expert on beer.
I don't know if expert is the right word.
More of an expert than me in any way.
I was at a wedding yesterday and I drank probably too much of it, but that's another story. Yeah, I thought, you know what, because like, board gaming isn't necessarily my speciality, I thought I do know a little bit about beer, so I did some research and I have a list of the most popular beers in front of me. This is in Great Britain, so I thought I'd bring a different aspect for you. So
great,
I'm quite prepared.
Perfect. Yeah. She did her homework. Awesome.
All right. Okay, so we'll kind of throw it at you. We'll curve it at you a bit. So what kinds of beer go with what games? Like, if you were to put a beer to World of Warcraft, let's actually get specific. If you were to put a beer to vanilla WoW, what beer would that be?
Vanilla WoW. I would have to go with... see, I'm looking down my list now. I think I've got... So you put me right on the spot. I don't think you're actually going to do this to me. That's really mean. I've got this one here. I don't know if it really... No, it will fit. I'll go with this one. There's one called Axes of Evil.
Oh, there you go. Perfect.
Which is from the Gigantic Brewing Company. It's actually in Oregon in the United States, so it's from over your side. But it's an English pale ale, 6%. And yeah, I think that goes with World of Warcraft. Get your axes out. Mm-hmm. It's got a hazy orange amber, apparently, with a thin off-white head and okay retention. Okay. How's that going to work?
Yeah. Perfectly. That was perfectly played, I gotta say. See? You are an expert. You just don't know it.
Yep.
Oh, goodness. All right, let's see here. What other games can we put you on the spot with?
Oh, let's give her a board game. Make it more fun.
That's really unfair.
Yeah, you're going to get even with me here momentarily.
Yeah,
so
totally have a chance to get even with us.
Nice.
Oh, what board game can we put her on the spot with?
Well, it's got to be something. Well, why don't we pick Life, since you taunted that one. How about Life?
The Game of Life, right? Is it called the same in America? Is it called the Game of Life?
Yeah, it's Life. Yep, yeah. Same one. Yep. Nice. I played that a bunch. Yes.
Game of Life. Okay, I've got one here called Society and Solitude.
There you go, perfect. There you go. Awesome.
All from the Hill Farmstead Brewery, Vermont, United States. These are all from the USA. Mm-hmm. We also have good beer over there. Mm-hmm. It's 7.8%, so it's a little bit strong. So if you're playing that or drinking that whilst you're playing the Game of Life, it might get a little bit messy by the end of it if you drink too many.
Yeah, and thus a life lesson from that. Right?
Exactly. Yeah. Apparently, it's it's very citrusy. It's got pine and hint of peach.
Oh.
So yeah, nice and fruity.
Oh, there you go.
All right, I'm going to throw one more video game at you, since I'm a huge fan. All right, a beer to go with the Sonic the Hedgehog franchise.
Oh, that's really hard. Do you know what, though? One just jumped out of me straight away. Alesmith Speedway Stout. It's just there.
Yeah. Yep.
The Alesmith Brewing Company, California, United States. Again, another American one. Mm-hmm. It's an American Double Imperial Stout.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. 12%. Ouch.
Wow. Yeah, that's nasty.
That goes with Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yes, it
does. Mm-hmm. I'll go with that. Medium body, medium carb, apparently. And milky chocolate flavours blended perfectly with the coffee. Yeah, coffee. See, caffeine, Sonic's very hyper. That works quite well.
Yeah. I don't buy that you're not an expert on beer. After that.
I was reading that from beeradvocate.com. Yeah. So take all the credit.
Yep. But you thought so quickly on your feet, there was no hesitation or nothing. So I'm still not buying it. You can say, but you've got me convinced you're an expert. Yeah, so anyway, I think what we'll wind up doing here, Dracass, is we'd like to kind of keep you along here as we roll into a couple of our segments. But if there's anything you kind of wanted to add as we kind of wrap up the interview and head on into our next thing, which is going to be more beer talk.
No, I'm fine. I'm loving it at the moment, so carry on.
Okay, sounds good. So anyway, we are going to head into our, you know, we are a beer podcast as well, so we mm-hmm. talked a lot about games and started hammering the beer, so I think we're going to need to talk about a little bit of beer. Okay, so welcome to the segment, the beer segment that we have. So what beer or spirit, we kind of bend things a little bit, goes with a select game. So what we're going to start with is we always try to feature a beer on this podcast, and we're going to go this week with the Klingon Warnog.
Ooh.
Oh, wow. So have you looked at this yet by any chance?
No.
Well, we have to take a look at that and see what you got going there. But so this is an official trademarked Star Trek beer, you know. Looks like, boy, I'm wondering, this looks really cool, though. I don't know. I'm all over.
That is an awesome can design.
Yeah, yes. It looks like an energy drink almost.
Yes, yep, exactly. Let's see, so it looks like it's a rye malt. Clove character, creating a rich and unique flavor. Wheat and caramel malts to round out the mouthfeel is beer. So it's a Dunkelweizen, which I don't know if I've even had anything like that before. I've got to go out and try this, I think. Just because it's Star Trek. Oh, you got to love this brewery name too, the Tin Man Brewery.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'm familiar with those or not. I wonder where you can get this. I don't imagine that's in the UK by any chance.
No, but if it is, I'll find out. I'll let you know. I'll try and get hold of it.
Yep, we're gonna have to try that. But you know, then we could say, well, what kind of games would this beer go with?
Star Trek Online.
Yes, that's appropriate. I would say, yep, definitely. I have to go with
it's
that.
It's not a board game, but you know, that's yep. what I know about.
Yeah, it works. And how about let's kind of, so Morgan, we're gonna have to come up with what board game could we put this thing with?
Well, definitely Fantasy Flight's new one. I mean, that's again another gimme.
Mm-hmm.
But the new Attack Wing game that's coming out.
Yep, that certainly would work with that one. And then I could pull a really old one that neither one of you are familiar with. Well, Morgan might be. Well, if you've listened to the podcast a couple of episodes back when I talked about the Starfleet battles, starship thing you played on the floor where, you know, you got all these high tech, mm-hmm. you know, weapons and all this stuff, but you have to guess, you know, angles and things like that to shoot people with. So that would be one that I would go with.
Okay. Space Cadets, Dice Duel.
Oh, yeah. See, now they're starting to fly out.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, and even that one we talked about a couple podcasts back, even Freedom of the Galaxy, I guess it's more Star Wars-y, but, you know, it is a space beer, so I guess we could put it in there if we wanted to. I suppose that would work.
Completely.
Okay. Nope, we're going to have to take a look at that, so if anybody's interested in that, just tried it, write in, let us know about it. Is it good? Is it bad? Is it worth getting? Am I going to waste my money if I buy it? Or is it just going to sit on the shelf and, you know, be a Star Trek collectible or something like that at this point?
It is worth it just for the can, really.
Yes, it is. Yep, I agree. I think it's really cool. It's got the Klingon, you know, logo on it and so on. So
I just popped over to Tin Man's site. They actually have what they call an 8-bit beer club. I think I like this brewery better and better every second.
Oh.
It must be made by geeks. That's all I can say.
Yep, it has to be. Yay! More power to us. More power to us. Okay, so we're going to head into our little game here. This is going to be interesting how we're going to manage this with the three of us. So this is our little beer game that we usually play on every episode, where we kind of pick a random game and then that person has to come up with a beer that goes with it. So how do you want to manage this? So you're
going to I say we can do one person throws a game, the other two throw a beer.
Yeah, that would probably work. I'd say that would probably work.
With that.
Okay, so who wants to start, or shall I?
Oh, it sounds like you've got something up your sleeve.
Sounds an evil laugh.
No, yeah, no, it really wasn't that bad. Oh, uh-huh. I'm not that cruel. Oh, let's see. Oh, we got to think of something here. What can we toss at you guys? Okay, here's one I'm going to throw. How about Whiz War? Mm. Morgan, you can help her with that one a little bit. Do you know the game?
Oh, just a little bit. I haven't played it.
Yeah.
Whiz War. What are we going to do with Whiz War? Oh, this is totally an opportunity to throw the one out that I just found this morning.
Okay.
this has got to be. There's actually an English strong ale out there. And it's from Ridgeway. It's called an Insanely Bad Elf.
Yep, that's perfect. That's perfect. Dracast, I don't know if you can top that or add something.
Well, I'll go with Hobgoblin.
Ah, okay. Perfect.
Do you know Hobgoblin beer?
Yeah.
Well, I know because I've been to the UK many times. In fact, we're a city that I'm in a lot. They're a little town that has a brewery there. Name that.
Yeah. And it's made by Whitwood Brewery. It's a very nice beer, actually.
Oh, nice. Yep. Mm-hmm. See, I can't get you guys. See, I had this evil laugh and I threw that at you. It was no hesitation at all. So I don't want to hear anymore that I'm laughing evilly.
Uh-huh. All right. I'll throw a game out. So Rosenberg, of course, had Glass Road come out, which I talked about earlier on the podcast, but that's not the game we're going to throw here. Mm-hmm. I'm going to throw out Caverna, which is a game that, quote unquote, fired Agricola. This is the cave farmers. So you play as little dwarves and you're kind of building this like civilization down in the caves. It's very similar to Agricola in play style. What beer goes with that?
Kind of a caveman beer here. Caveman beer. Ooh, that's a... Now, see, you got me on this one. I'm caught.
And see, I told you I was going to find something obscure, and Caverna's not even obscure. It's sitting there on the hot list on Board Game Geek.
Yep.
It's number 11.
Yep. I know the game, too. I've seen it. I haven't played it, but I've seen it. So, oh, boy. Okay, it's got to be some caveman sort of thing.
I'm looking.
Oh, I've got one. It sort of fits, even though I don't like it. We have a brewery here in town called the Great Brayson Brewery, and they brew a beer called the Ichthyosaur Pale Ale. It's not really, but it's on the primitive lines. They know they weren't alive at the same time because it's amazing how some people think that dinosaurs and people were alive at the same time, but I'm going with Ichthyosaur Pale Ale. It fits.
Okay. Well, that's tough, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with, again, it's very, very on the periphery, this. I mean, it's so obscure and probably has no connection whatsoever. But cavemen are kind of quite angry, aren't they? Mm-hmm. They like to hit things. They like to hit things a lot, especially with clubs. I'm going to go with a beer called Knuckle Sandwich.
Perfect.
Awesome. That's great.
From the Bootleggers Brewery.
Oh, that's great. Yep. See, we're good at this. Mm-hmm. Yep, we got something going here. I challenge anybody to beat the three of us in this. bring it on. Yeah, bring it on. Oh, I want to start a fire. Let's do it.
It's my turn, isn't it?
Yes.
Yep.
I've had no preparation, AC.
Throw out a board game.
Yep.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, since we've already spoken about it and it kind of combines the two, let's go for Hearthstone.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, I'm going to throw one at you you're probably familiar with, I think, Greg. Mm-hmm. Greg Cash, you might be. I'm going to go with Brackspear.
Oh.
Because I've had it.
Nice.
Yeah. So I know that's an English beer.
It is.
And I like it. Well, they brew a lot of different kinds, though. It's just not one specifically. Isn't that just a brewery, though? Or am I incorrect in that?
It is a brewery, but they do have a beer, from if I remember rightly, that is named after the brewery.
Mm-hmm. I think they've got a bitter that I really like, so I'm going to go with that one, the Brackspear Bitter. I don't know if that has a specific name or not, but that's going to be mine.
All right. I've got one because I know one of the big deck archetypes right now in Hearthstone that everybody's complaining about because you can't beat it is Miracle Rogue. So let's go with a Rogue Double Dead Guy Ale.
Oh, nice.
Perfect. That was brilliant. Way to pull it out, Morgan. Awesome.
We're good at this.
Yeah, you guys are better than I am. What do you mean? I was the one cackling, laughing evilly, and I feel like I'm the one that kind of got crushed in this thing. Awesome. Okay, great. So does anybody, you guys want to add anything to that? I think one turn around each other, I think that was kind of fair. Everybody kind of got a pot shot at one another on that. I really think I got the short end of the stick, so see, you all got even at me.
See, you're just saying this because you're really going to have to go scrub to get the tire marks from the bus off.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I'm just thinking about that right now. You know, I'm already pondering how I'm going to get it off me. I'm starting to think. In fact, I'm taking notes right at the moment. Okay, anyway, so we're going to end up the beer segment here. So like I said, if you've got a chance to check out that Klingon Warnog, please let us know about that, and we'll see if we can find out some stuff and talk about it on a later show. Anyway, so we're going to head into one of our last segments, which is our Back in the Vault segment. So what I'm going to do, I need some help. Okay. So Dracass, I need you to come over here on the left, and okay, Morrigan, and I need you to go over here on the right.
Alrighty.
Okay, and I want you to get a hold of this chain, and we're going to get this drawbridge up out of the way. So let's go, ladies. Let's pull. Come on.
Pulling.
Okay, there we go. Anyway, so for this discussion, we are going to take a look back at the game Wizard, which was one of these little micro games that came out in 1979. I actually own a copy of this. Yay! It's actually one of the games that kind of got me into this, into the hobby. So anyway, I don't know if either of you have had a chance to look at it, if you've ever heard of it or whatever. It seems to me I always pick something, but that's kind of my point, is to pull something out that maybe people aren't familiar with, but that, you know, a lot of the games that a lot of us are familiar playing well with, just the barrage of them that are coming out, I really kind of lead it back to some of these games kind of being the, you know, the forefront to kind of get this whole thing going. So I don't know if either of you have tried it, but I mean, if you want me to kind of give a little bit of a synopsis on what it was, but kind of somewhat of a simple game in a sense where each player creates a wizard. It's played on a hexagonal map with these little pieces. And you just basically have three stats. You have strength, dexterity, and intelligence is your statistics. And so you get to kind of manipulate those a little bit. And then they give you a spell book in the game, and it's based on your intelligence as to what spells you can learn and cast from those. So, you know, if you like, I think the lowest intelligence you have is an 8. And then it kind of goes up from there, and then there's sets of spells in there. So then basically, once you get that picked, you just essentially go out onto this arena and you just try to kill each other, you know, as a, so it's a wizard war, you know, in other sense, but it really comes down to, because every time you cast a spell, you lose strength, and so on. And, you can't, obviously it doesn't last a terribly long time, but just a remarkably fun, goofy little game that really got me, you know, into this kind of stuff. And I remember, you know, getting that and just like, this is like the coolest thing ever. I said, whoever thought of this is brilliant, you know, because I liked that stuff as a little kid anyway. And it just played into my, you know, into my passions for stuff like that. But, you know, it was not a very long casting game because your strength, you know, you could conceivably kill the other person and kill yourself at the same time. Because if you cast a spell like, oh, I got 2 strength left and this spell cost me 2, but I'm going to kill him if I hit it.
Wipe out.
Yep, exactly. So, I don't know how that sounds to the both of you, but
it sounds great. It sounds like Wizard Pokemon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I can get it on Amazon for like 99 pence. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that translates into over there, but that's really cheap. So I actually might get it.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You with my nephew.
Oh wow. You seriously, you can get a copy of this game for 99 pence?
Yeah, on Amazon. Wizard card game.
Oh, wow. Okay. Let me see. Yeah, because I've got I'm looking at – I'm up on eBay right now looking at it. And obviously, it's an out-of-print game now. It went with a couple other games, another game called Melee, which was the combat-oriented one. So that was just, you know, guys with swords and shields and, you know, all this sort
bashing at each other.
Yeah, bashing each other. And you could actually play the both of them. The system was – they were compatible with one another, so you could play them both. And then they had like this little dungeon crawl thing called Death Test that you could go through. But yeah, I'm looking up on eBay, and the copy that I have, I don't know if both of you can get access to look at that, but I have the one that had the very colorful cover on it. It says The Fantasy Trip, and it's got this guy kind of on a ledge. He's like casting a spell or something at this dragon, and that's actually the one that I have. So, Boy, if you're getting it for 99 pence, which is quite cheap, that's rather amazing, because the copy I have that I'm seeing on eBay, the cheapest one is going for $55. And up
this
to,
is,
yeah.
So this is Dispatch from Steve's Collectibles, and it's it says $4.99 down to 99 pence. I don't think it's like the original though.
Yeah, I gotcha. Yeah, if you get the original, then they made a second version of it, you know, with a different cover on it, and that one's only like 39, and goes for like 60. But I have this one that's the $59 to $99 one. Wow, I can, you know, and the amazing thing is, I was telling Morgan this before, you know, before we started the show, that you know what the price on this game was when it originally came out? This is what kind of kills me. $2.95.
Wow.
So I've got quite the collector's item. It's like, maybe I shouldn't be playing it. Maybe I should just like seal it away or something. You know? I'm sitting on a gold mine here. You know, I'm certainly not going to sell it. I mean, there's no way I'm going to do that. Mm-mm. So, no.
Oh, I see the one that you've got. The one with the wizard on it.
Yes, yeah. That's the one with the dragon stuff. It's the real colorful cover.
Yeah.
And that one's the tends to be. I don't think they printed as many of those. I mean, you know, just speaking of, you know, Steve Jackson, I know that it's actually one of his, but he kind of parted ways with this metagaming company that was making it. Because they make a bunch, they made a bunch of these little pocket games. I have several of them. There are a lot of them. They're really fun. You know, and then it led into, I don't know if you're familiar, well, I'm sure Morgan is, but I don't know if you're familiar with it, Dracast, but the GURPS, the Generic Universal Role-Playing System, which is something that Steve Jackson, I mean, I'm sure you're familiar with him, you know, with Munchkin and, you know, all these other things. Another one of his that was really funny was, I think Aliens from Outer Space or something like that was the other, what was the name of it? Awful Green Things. Awful Green Things from Outer Space. Yes. Oh, God. You know, and I don't know if you're familiar. We kind of talked about it before, but he had another little micro game. God, I'm really getting off rail here, aren't I? Supposed to be talking about Wizard, and I'm talking about as it tends to happen. But he had that game Ogre that he relaunched. It's this big beast game. And I don't know, Dracast, if you get a chance to look at this thing, you had to see this thing. It's insane. He did this Kickstarter. And it was a micro game, you know, similar to Wizard. And basically what it was one player played like this really super tough tank in the future on this little map. And then the other player got to buy other units, you know, like infantry and artillery pieces and whatever. And you tried to kill the tank, but it was really tough. But he re-released the game as this big mega box thing. I'm sure Morgan's familiar with it. And I'm not kidding. This box weighs, I mean, close to 40 pounds. The thing is a beast. And one of the guys...
The box is the size of a coffee table.
Yes. Yeah, it's huge. It's huge. I mean, and the thing went nuts. He got like, I don't know, what was it? $2 million or something like that. And he's still printing it. It's not a cheap game. It's like $160-something or something like that. If you could find, you could still get it. But the guy in my game group that bought it, it took him like 4 hours just to put all the pieces together, because that's what he did. He, instead of the pieces being these little pieces, he made these three-dimensional pieces he had to put together. And when you set the stuff out, it covers like five or six, like these big long tables worth of material, you know? So, you know, if you're really into insanity and you like these sorts of things, I recommend getting your hands on that. I don't know if you want to add anything on that, but... that is a super fun game. I highly recommend it. Wizard, no, that is.
It's amazing to see how much of Wizard that you can look at and see in games that we still play today. Because, of course, you know, Steve Jackson had a hand in Games Workshop and everything. And, you know, you can just look at it and you can see, oh, well, this is kind of the preliminary, you know, this is the predecessor to modern day Warhammer. Or even looking at it, and you can see in some of the spells that are described in the book and everything, you can see some of the characters from League of Legends still lean on these archetypes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You can see some of the spells that we still cast in WoW today there.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Games like Mage Wars are effectively this game, only much more prettier with a, you know, 100,000 page rule book, it feels like. And it's still there. This is just kind of an amazing underlying system.
Yes, it is. That's why I think that was kind of a cool pick. And also, like I said, why the thing kind of launched me, and it's an interesting point, isn't it, that this really seems to be, like I was saying, maybe one of those springboards that's just launched in not only board games but video games and a lot of the stuff that we're sort of familiar with, you know. So that's why, to me, it's one of my core things. I'll never get rid of the thing. I mean, even though I'm going, ooh, cool, I could sell it for $99, I probably wouldn't do it. You know, you'd have to pry it out of my hands or something. So, of course, after I clean the, you know, bus tire marks off after me, you know, after the pummeling that I took during the beer segment. So anyway, if anybody's got anything else to add to that, we'll go ahead and probably just start wrapping up the show here. So either one of you got any parting comments on that?
Nope, not for me.
Okay, sounds good. So we'll go ahead and we'll go into our last little segment here and do a little bit of wrap up. So anyway, you've been listening to the Board Games and Beer podcast. Thanks for joining us. Our next show will be probably in a couple of weeks, and we'll have more beer, game talk, and interviews. So does anybody have any parting things you want to say, any shout-outs or anything like that we want to do before we start throwing out some information on how we can get a hold of everybody here? So, Dracast, you got anything you want to shout-out or anything you'd like to throw out to anybody?
There's probably loads of people that I should probably shout out to, but you put me on the spot, so I can't think of anyone. My mind's gone blank. I normally give you guys a shout out, so that won't work here.
Well, we'll take it. Yeah, Morgan, do you got anything else to add here?
Just sending some love to everybody with Kickstarters ending this week. Patrick at Crash, you were so amazing to talk to. Had a lot of fun and hope to have you on here soon. And of course, Lauren and Jamie with Wibai for Transylvania. Mm-hmm. I know it's been a long, crazy month for them, and it's been amazing to watch just all of the support for this game flood in. So good luck in the final days, weeks, hours, whatever it is, and have fun, guys. That's what it's all about.
Right, exactly. So anyway, you can contact us at the Board Games and Beer Podcast at gmail.com. We are also on Twitter at BGB Podcast Game, and also at our website, which is bgbpodcast.com. And we will have our show notes, links, and so on there. And you can email us there and so on. So Morgan, how can people get a hold of you as well? What places can we get a hold of you? Twitter or email or whatever.
I run a blog called If You Give a Geek a Game. Just finished up wrapping up my Geekway coverage, which actually has pictures of all of the amazing things I tried. Got some game reviews coming up this week on there. If you want to find me on Twitter, I am personally at Give a Geek a Game. And email is just the same as the blog, If You Give a Geek a Game at gmail.com.
Okay, great. And then lastly, what we're going to do, I really want to thank Dracast for joining us. This was really fun having her on the show, brought a lot of energy and so on. So how can people get a hold of you?
Well, you can find us on our website, which is www.epicgeeks.co.uk, which has got links there to all our social networks, etc. The podcast Epic Geeks is available on iTunes, Stitcher, and Podkicker. We're also on Twitch TV, we're at Epic Geeks, and you can find me on Twitter at Dracass, which is DRAYCASS, and you can also find the Epic Geeks Twitter at Epic_Geeks.
Okay, great. So anyway, has anybody got any last parting things before we roll on out of here?
Yes, thank you very, very much for having me on the podcast. It's been amazing. Oh. A lot of fun, especially talking about the beer and learning more about games.
Yep, exactly. Perfect. See, I knew we were going to convert you. Anyway, Morgan, you got anything else to add here before we roll on out of here?
You mean after the bus rolls out of here carrying you on the
Yes, let's not go there.
I'm good. Yeah. I'm good.
Okay, anyway, so look forward to our next podcast here in a couple of weeks. And once again, I really want to thank Morgan, and I want to thank Dracast, and we'll see you on our next podcast. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, guys.